The title of this service or the sermon is You Gotta Have Faith. Now, I'm not going to launch into a George Michael song, so don't panic. But that reading from John, Jesus walking on the water, to set the scene, he had just finished feeding the 5,000 and he withdrew for some prayer time with God and some contemplation. He must have been exhausted. And he wanted a bit of peace. And he sent the disciples across the lake to Capernaum and he would join them later. And we're told that a strong wind blew up when the disciples were on the boat. And that wasn't uncommon on the Sea of Galilee, even today. Due to its, I won't go into the geography and the physics and stuff and the meteorology, but due to its location, there are hills or mountains rather to the northeast of the Sea of Galilee. And high pressures come over the mountains very, very quickly and stir up the waters and lead to storms. And it's quite common for storms to come very, very quickly and disappear as quickly as they came. And on this occasion, the disciples were in the boat and there was a storm. But there are hidden meanings within that, symbolic meanings. Traditionally, even in the Old Testament, a storm was seen, or a stormy sea was seen, as the point of chaos and destruction. If you go back to Genesis, at the creation, you know, they describe the earth as without form or void, and there was chaos reigned upon the waters. So it was always seen, not just in Jewish culture, but the other religions of Mesopotamia, as the storm, the sea, being a symbol of chaos, disorder, and destruction. So that's the scene set. We remember the old, when I was in the Boys' Brigade in Scotland, where your anchor hold in the storms of life. So the disciples are on a boat, there's a raging storm, they're in the midst of all this chaos and destruction and disharmony. And what do they see? They see someone walking across the water, and it's Jesus. And they were frightened. Matthew tells us they thought they'd seen a ghost. But Jesus said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid. It is I, do not be afraid." We could take that in face value. It's me, Jesus, don't be afraid. But John is the most theological of all the four Gospels. And there's a saying that the translator is a traitor. We could just take that as face value, it is I. But that's not what it says in the Greek. What Jesus says there in Greek is ego eimi, or Amy, which means, it is I, it is me. But there's a quirk of the Greek, because in Greek, the ending of the verb tells you what person is speaking. And Amy in Greek can only be first person singular. So you don't need the word ego or ego. Ego means I on its own. But Amy itself is enough to say, it is me. You don't need ego. So ego Amy, we've heard that saying before, is I am that I am. You don't get that in English translation. We've heard that before with Moses at the burning bush. And he's instructed to go back to the Hebrew people to liberate them. And he says to God, because Moses grew up in Egyptian tradition, in the Egyptian palace, he would have known he was of Jewish origin, but he wouldn't know much about Jewish religion and culture. And he says to God, if I go to these people, who shall I say sent me? What is your name? And God says, I am that I am. Tell them that I am has sent you. And in Hebrew, that's the tetragrammaton, the glorious word for God, which we translate as Yahweh. So when Jesus says to the disciples, it is I, do not be afraid, he is claiming to be God himself. It is I am that is here. Do not be afraid. And John's sign points to things, as we say, a sign is something simple of itself, but points to something greater than itself. And through this sign in John, Jesus walking on the water, Jesus is confirming that he is above natural phenomenon, above the laws of physics, and he can walk on water, confirming he is the Son of God, the promised Messiah, and it is I am that I am. He is God incarnate. And that's all John wants to get across in his gospel, signs pointing to who Jesus really is. Matthew's gospel goes a bit further on the same story and elaborates it a bit more. We hear that Jesus had sent them into the boat to go to the other side, to Capernaum. And then Jesus went up in a mountainside by himself to pray. Just like that hymn we sung, what a friend we have in Jesus. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus is always praying on his own, seeking God's solitude. The boat had set off again with the disciples, some distance from the land. And again, there was a storm. The chaos, the destruction. And then they saw Jesus walking on the water. They were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear amongst this chaos, this disorder. But Jesus said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Again, ego, Amy. No, it's me. Hello, it's me. It is I am that I am. And then that sort of parallels John, but then Matthew extends it a bit. We hear Peter say, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus simply says, come. And Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water. And he walked towards Jesus. But then Matthew tells us when he saw the wind and the waves, he became afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Peter had faith. He had faith. And he got out the boat and he walked on the water. But at the first sign of trouble, he lost his faith. And he began to sink. Now, it's easy for us in our comfortable lives, reasonably comfortable lives, well off, to have faith. But what happens when something terrible happens? Do we lose our faith in the storms of life? Not that we abandon our faith, but do we lose it? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian, was probably the only German theologian at the time of the Second World War to speak out publicly against the Nazis and the Nazi regime. And because he did, he was imprisoned in a concentration camp. He was eventually executed because he had anti-Nazi beliefs and spoke out against Hitler personally. He was executed in the concentration camp. He'd written a few books. One of the books he wrote was The Cost of Discipleship. And he knew the cost of discipleship when your faith is tested. And he talks about cheap grace and says, oh, when everything's rosy and lovely, in order and we're at peace and we're financially secure, we've got good health, we can have faith. That's cheap grace. But he says, what happens when your circumstances change? How strong is your faith when it is tested? And that's Bonhoeffer really getting to the nub of things. What happens when our faith is tested? Do we keep our faith? Do we keep going? And Bonhoeffer's answer to that is yes, we must and we should. So Peter had faith. He walked a few steps, but then the wind and the waves frightened him and he lost that faith. And that's like us in life. We're ticking along very, very nicely, then we're hit by something suddenly. Loss of a job, a chronic illness, death of a child, death of a loved one. And we begin to question. It's hard, it's tough, how do we get on? Peter cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus reached out and put his hand out and took hold of Peter and said to him, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. The storm ceased. There was calm on the water. Jesus can control the chaos and the disruption of nature. And out of disorder and chaos can bring calmness and peace. And so it is with us in our trials and tribulations. We are buffeted on the sea of life. And our faith is challenged, or we begin to lose faith. We should never forget Jesus calms the storm. And we're in the boat. They worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. They realized from that who Jesus really was. In faith, some people say, oh, it's belief without proof. You know, I have faith in God, but I've no proof that he exists. Well, I think that's rubbish. I think there's plenty of proof to show that God exists. You can't do an experiment to show it, but personal experience and interaction, every one of us has a faith. Belief without proof. But I think faith is a stronger definition. Faith is about trust. We use the term faith quite glibly. when we go to the doctors or the surgeons in hospital, say, oh, I've got faith in the doctor. I've got faith in the surgeon. What we're actually saying is, I trust them. You're handing over your body, your illness, your life, particularly if you're going for major surgery. You put your arm out to an anaesthetist to inject you with drugs that render you unconscious, and it's the anaesthetic skill that keeps your blood pressure going and keeps you breathing and keeps your heart beating. Then the surgeon starts opening up the body and cutting bits out, maybe putting bits in. That's a lot of trust in that person. And it's the same with Jesus. Faith to me is trust. It's not belief without proof. It's trust. Trust in Jesus. And if we trust in him and keep that trust, then the storms will be calmed. Jesus never said life was going to be a bed of roses. There's no promise, no saccharine sweetness. He said, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross. There are going to be difficulties and dangers in life, trials and tribulations. But Jesus has promised to us, is no matter what you're going through, he will calm that storm. Jesus is here. Jesus is holding his hand out to us who are drowning in the water. All we have to do is reach out, trust in him, and take his hand. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. And we finish on a high note. You know, I keep saying this is one of my favourite hymns, but if I was to say what my favourite hymns were, I'd probably have a list of about 1,000. But this is a really bouncy hymn. The words are good. Shine, Jesus, shine. Just have a little sunshine today, please. Shine, Jesus, shine. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault, and with great joy to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all and those whom we love this day and evermore. Amen. 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 And shall we share the grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.